It's like a double mint gum commercial. Double the fun, double the pastors. Right? Yeah, double the fun. That's what I said. Double the fun. I think those of you who are old enough to have seen those double mint commercials have a point of reference. The rest of you, you'll just have to catch up with us.
YouTube it.
Right? Right. Well, Janet and I are sitting down together this morning to talk to you about this new thing that God is doing in this place. Normally, when a pastor is appointed in a new place, they move. They're new in the community. They're new to the church that they're serving, and the newness is kind of natural. It just happens. The adjustment to a new pastor is more or less forced upon folks. In this place, we have the blessing of having Janet appointed right here in the midst of the work that she is already doing. She's just now doing it in a new capacity, and so we're going to recognize that work, and we're going to continue to work as a team. Only Janet has some jurisdictional capability to do some things like celebrate the Eucharist and Holy Communion, and to do baptisms, and to officiate funerals and weddings and things like that in our midst. So we are ready for what God is doing for us next, because we're already too, and it's a blessing to be serving alongside her. So back to the scripture, we have these wise men from the east. Right? They're probably not kings, the way the We Three Kings song describes them. Kings themselves would probably not have made that journey. They are magi, really, is the best description of what they are. And the magi are wise men, king's court people, people of royal appointment, but not of royal heritage necessarily. Daniel and Joseph of the Old Testament were both magi in foreign lands. They served in the court of kings, and they gave them advice. They gave them wise counsel, and they interpreted dreams. And these magi had to know many, many things to perform the tasks. And one of the things that they had to know was something about lots of other religions. Because as dreams are interpreted, as life is experienced, they had to be able to offer insights that maybe weren't native to themselves. Now, where Daniel and Joseph are concerned, they're both on king's courts in lands that are not Hebrew lands. They're not in Israel. So they bring already with them this different understanding of what is happening in dreams, a different kind of interpretation. But in these eastern lands, these men would have read all kinds of religious writing. They would have tried to verse themselves in many, many different religions. Among them would have been the Jewish religion. They would have read the Hebrew Bible. They would have read the words of Isaiah and the other prophets that talked about this coming king, this newborn king, this Prince of Peace, whose reign would last forever. They would have read, along with a lot of other people, in the 400 years between the prophets' voices and the coming of Christ. So they were aware. So we know that they came searching for knowledge, searching for this new things. Even if the kings, these kings, the magi, made their trek 2 years after Jesus was born, as some historians say, they would have heard about this newborn king, but they could have just sent their gifts along with messengers. That was traditional in that time. They would just pack up their stuff with a nice note, send it off and say, welcome to the world. We're honoring this new king. But something motivated them to make this trip themselves. The star guided them, of course, so they had a navigation to get to where they were going. But the motivation, I feel, comes from the Holy Spirit. For us to know Christ, we have to experience Christ. We have to be in God's presence. And God knows this. God called these magi from where they were to this place so that they could experience Christ. They could be in God's very presence and thus be changed. They came, and they were motivated to come, and they were led by the power of the Holy Spirit to this new place. They were on a journey because God sent them, called them to be on a journey. All of us are on a journey alike. Called to be in the presence of Christ, to be changed, to be made new. I like the Magi, I can tell you about the events that have led me to this time and place in my life, but I could not have predicted any of it. 20 years ago, if you'd have said that I would be a pastor, I would have said you were nuts. Some of you might think it's still a crazy idea. Joke's on you, right? But here I am, and have been in ministry for, this is my 14th year, I think, which is kind of crazy. And 5 years ago tomorrow, when the district superintendent called me and said, Chad, we've discerned a new appointment for you. It's at Chapel Hill United Methodist Church in Battle Creek. And some of you might remember how I responded to that. Holy crap, he said, right? I thought the job was too big. There are days when I think it is still too big. But here I am nonetheless on this journey. God has me here at this time to do this work, and I believe he will continue to reveal the necessary gifts in me to get God's work done God's way. I don't know what's coming next. I just know that I'm here in this moment to do the work I'm called to do today. And tomorrow has enough worries of its own. God will be there to meet us. And so we're asking each other questions this morning. The one I just answered was, what led me here at this moment in this time? And the next one is, where do I feel that God calling and leading me now? Like, what is the next thing for us? I've answered this question at every station in ordination, the ordination process, which I completed this last June. And literally at every turn, that question is asked. What do you feel God is calling you to do now? And at every turn, my answer has stayed the same. God reveals God's plan in God's time. For the immediate future, I think God is positioning Chapel Hill to lead the way into a new Methodist presence in Battle Creek. I don't know what that looks like. I just know that the old one cannot be sustained. I feel called to honor the work of the pastors in this whole community that have come before me by being ready for and open to the changes that are to come. God has called you all to lead in this community, and I am called to lead alongside you. That's all I know. I'll tell you as it comes. We need to trust that God is in every tomorrow, and that we are already ready for what comes. God just might not have told us that yet. Right. So, Janet, I ask you the same two questions. What led you here to this moment in time, and where do you feel that God is leading you now?
Okay. Leading to this moment of time is really a lifelong journey. Some childhood and youth faith, and then really didn't carry much of a faith life through much of my adulthood. Started really hearing what felt like whispers and then voices and then shouts from God to find a faith community about 20 years ago. And with my oldest daughter, who was then maybe 15, we started going to churches and just trying to feel. She was looking for a vital youth group. I was looking for preaching and teaching I could connect to and things where I could belong. And we were seeking until we came to Chapel Hill, and we knew no one here. I recognized one woman who sang in the choir who I knew through Girl Scout leadership, but there was a big, vibrant youth group that connected Kate, and it just felt like home to both of us from the moment we arrived. So that was about 20 years ago, And my call story has been one small call at a time. Mm-hmm. And Chad has talked about that too, because he and Roshan nurtured their faith in a local United Methodist congregation before that call. And I was trying to remember the first things I did. And I think I joined the counting team. That was the first service. I had a small business. I was balancing a cash drawer every week. I thought, I can count money. And so I started in that and got to meet Diane Lutz and lots of other faithful people who did that work. Chapel Hill was doing the purpose-driven life study in that period, and I joined a small group for a time in that. And then I joined the Bookies Book Club. I'll talk later. I read a lot. I always have. And that seemed like a real natural place to connect. And I didn't know Dave and Carrie. They actually intimidated me a little bit at that point in time. But, you know, just all these strangers who have become deep friends of my heart were met along the way. Growing in faith as a disciple of Christ, I think, has been about learning to listen. Seeing those opportunities, hearing those nudges from the Holy Spirit, and being willing to walk through that open door. Sometimes, even though I was scared or unsure or it felt like a risk, and it certainly was unknown most of the time, to just take that next step and walk through that door. And I think about that a lot in my time in ministry here. Whenever we offer things, that's what we're doing, is just opening the door and seeing who God calls in their faith journey. This call, this pastoral call thing, was a different kind of call. It wasn't a flash of light moment at all. It was learning to listen, I think, at a deeper level, learning how to be more still with Christ and more aware of God in the center of my being and what God wanted to do with me. And finding in this story the sense of Christ as my North Star. It felt like I started a long way off and had no idea where I was going or why I was moving over the sand, but just kept following that star, and the clarity and the brightness and the wonder and the awe of that star just got greater and greater over time. And what seems amazing to me is this journey has led me in this nice big circle right back to where I began, and I now get to serve those and serve alongside those who have served me and nurtured my faith and nurture the faith of others, walking through this particular open door and remaining here is just an amazing gift from God for me, and I just feel tremendously blessed in that. So that's part of where the call is leading me now. The other part I'll offer here is I came on staff about 7.5 years ago, and I have felt, which coincided with the tornado, you figure out what that means. But I have felt, and I didn't feel this as a congregant, I've felt in my vocational journey all along that Chapel Hill is being prepared for something. And for a while, it felt like we were falling apart as we were getting ready for that. And then it's felt like we've come back together and regrown into a new Chapel Hill. And that's part of that preparation. And over the last year, I've started to feel like it's closer. You know, that some of the things that are happening are what we've been prepared for, and some of the conversations that are happening. And again, I just feel blessed to be here and be a part of this body of Christ moving toward our call from God in this time. Indeed. We're going to move with the Magi through another part of the story. Later in Matthew 2 in verse 9, the Magi have been with Herod, and it continues this way. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. And when I read this part of the Magi story, I was struck that following their call filled them with joy. And I felt that greatly when I served communion this morning, when I celebrated communion. It just, Chad was worried about me being weepy, and I just felt so joy-filled.
We're all different.
Yeah, we're all different.
I cried like a baby the first time I served communion.
Weepy happens, but...
Yeah.
I've observed that in pastors, and certainly in Chad, that part of preaching and teaching and serving is being... And preaching the good news is recognizing the good news and finding your own sources of joy and inspiration. So let's play open question game, your favorite.
All right.
Yeah. Where do you find joy and inspiration, Chad?
Sometimes I find questions like that difficult. Where do you find joy and inspiration? When you have to sit and search. But this question has been so clear to me since the answer to this question has been so clear to me since we formulated it in this sermon or in this offering time. It is my joy and my inspiration to watch Jesus change lives. That's it. And you get a view from it up here in a lot of ways. And I don't mean up here by setting myself apart in an elevated place at all. I mean, I get to watch you as you experience God in this place in so many ways, and it just fills me with joy and inspiration. When giving results in gratitude and God gets the glory, it is amazing. You'll have gifts will come to the church, large and small, and folks get such joy and feel such gratitude being able to give. That is amazing. When people are visibly moved by the word of God, when God uses me to say something that touches you in a way that a tear flows, that is deeply moving, deeply inspiring to me. To think that, I mean, 20 years ago, I wouldn't have think that God would use me for that at all. And now, in ways, God is using me to help touch and change your lives. When the hard work of change results in the realization that someone is indeed loved beyond their understanding, it's moving to me. People who think themselves unworthy have summoned the courage to walk into a church thinking that they'll be judged or scorned or worse, not welcomed at all, and then they're met with grace and find out that they are loved beyond what they ever imagined. It is so inspiring to me. This is the church for everyone. Christ Church is for everyone, and I love it when that comes to realization. And I've had, 13, 14 years to kind of build those experiences together and come to a place where a scrapbook of them. It's not the word I was looking for, but that'll work, right? And I get to page through that scrapbook often and remember, and it moves me to the next place, gets me through the hard things to the next thing. That inspiration is available to all of us as disciples of Christ. So what inspires you? What brings you great joy?
So you might imagine I thought of this question and Chad didn't. It's open-ended questions. So when I first thought of it, I just thought of kind of everyday life things, because those will inform our preaching and our teaching and how we approach, particularly this time. And so Chad is inspired and joyful often about Michigan State sports, and I am not. I'm glad for him and for Michigan State, but it's not my thing. But reading and nature and visual arts, gardening, water anywhere are my thing. And so you'll see those in my illustrations, mm-hmm. and kind of what moves me and how I gather stories that I will preach out of. But the ministry piece, and I feel having gone through the licensing school journey with some really young people who are just being called and some folks who have been in ministry, I feel really blessed to have been in ministry for 7.5 years before this begins, because I've had time to build some of that too, yeah, to learn who I am. And I am, Chad is a extrovert. I can be an introvert. So big gatherings, extemporous speaking, blah. But one-on-one conversations with people where we can go deep and is always a blessing for me. I feel really honored to hear the stories of other people and their joys and their sorrows and their pain and their journey, whatever it has been. That feels like very sacred space to me and a part of, I think, how I'm designed for ministry. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, different things inspire us. Different things bring us joy. Some of the same things bring us joy as well. I mean, I could hear there are similarities. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that having Christ change people's mm-hmm. lives brings, and like I said, that's a joy that we have all access to, and that we're all called to. Mm-hmm. Like when you invite someone to church and they come and their life is changed, you have reason to celebrate. God has used you in a special way. So as I said before, we need to encounter Christ, and when we encounter Christ, we are changed. When we experience church, not just go to church and sit and listen to a message, but come and feel the moving of the Holy Spirit in this place. It changes us. It makes us different. We leave different than we came in. Often, that's part of a benediction. Lord, may we go away different than we walked in today. Inspired to do your work. Right? So the Magi, we're back to them, and in verse 11 it says, they entered the house and they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Right. Each of us, Janet and I, bring different gifts to this work, to this work to which we are called. So what, Janet, would you say are the specific gifts that you bring, that you'd like to highlight today? There are many.
Yes, and I so love to name them for myself.
Yeah, it's awkward to name them. I hate
all
that question.
All along the ministry journey, that's one of those questions.
So how awesome are you? How has God gifted you, Janet?
Yes. Well, God has made me a very organized person. So that really is a gift, I think, that I've just carried through life, and kind of the vocational sister of that is administration, that churches are organizations and there are systems and processes and ways that we work to continue our ministry, no matter who is up here, no matter who is out there. We want the body of Christ with all its many parts and pieces to keep functioning in healthy ways. And I think that's been a part of my varied work journey all along. Leadership has emerged as a gift kind of slowly over time. And again, really shy kid, pretty big introvert. So, you know, will you be president of whatever? Explorer Scouts was probably the first thing I really remember, and PTAs and all kinds of things has never been like, oh yeah, that sounds like a great idea. It's been a reluctant, you know, God, really? Who? What? Isn't there someone else? But just step by step, I think those have been open doors as well that may not have seemed related to this journey that have turned out to be very related. And particularly over the last year, I think, as I've lived more into this call and what it might mean, I've been trying to live into that leadership gift and leadership call and feeling more at home there. If God's gifted me and God's called me, it's there to use, and I just have to get out of its way, which happens with things. Faith on the spiritual side has been really high for me. Life knocked the pins out from under me pretty totally, and faith in God rebuilt me. And so that's very strong. And compassion has been one that God has grown. I think I've always had a heart for kind of the underdog and the least and the lost. But I also had a really critical, judgmental side of me that I've had to learn to live away from, to put down, and again, kind of get out of God's way. And as I've done that, I think both those things actually, kind of having life knock the pins out, and the faith just broke my heart open, and it broke it open for others. And part of my spiritual journey is to keep it open, no matter what's happening around me. So compassion is a gift I've been kind of delighted to find over time. How about you, Chad? What gifts would you like to name?
Well, I said earlier, I think God continues to reveal gifts in our lives, all of our lives, whether we're behind the pulpit up here or sitting out there, as we grow. But I love people. I'm an extrovert. I love being with people. Roshan and I have been sick the last couple of weeks in a lot, and I love her, and I love spending time with her, but not being with all y'all because I'm ill, it draws my life down. Like, I get kind of down. I love to be with people, and being with large groups of people gives me energy. For some people, it saps the life out of them, but it feeds me. It feeds me. I love it when plans change on a dime, when services are going along and something happens where you have to do something else. I spent 10 years in community theater, and anyone who's ever done that knows that all the lines don't happen right in the order they are in the script, and you've got to move, and I get a charge out of that. I too have some gifts in administration, but the last couple of years, as Janet's gifts have been revealed to me, I found that mine are more dreaming than doing. And so if I can dream and Janet can capture those dreams in a way that is helpful to all of us, then we get to benefit from both the gifts of the administration in dreaming and visioning and in making them concrete. And we'll have a conversation. She'll go away and come back the next morning with an outline. And I'll be like, what? Like, cool. So we're doing some things that would never come to fruition if we weren't serving together in this place. And I am blessed to be serving alongside her. Leadership in different ways than Janet's leadership gifts, but I have some of those gifts as well. I just think God has put us together here and made a good team, and we're going to see what God does with that team going forward. And I'm inspired. I'm excited.
And I'm going to offer, you were saying the things you love, and I'm shaking my head. So I love to sit in the quiet with God. Meditation is a part of my life. Being still and quiet is a part of my life. So part of what's been fun about the last 4.5 years is just seeing how complementary, how differently we're gifted, and how those seem to work together.
Right. So we continue to follow the Magi. Verse 12 says that they went and they saw Jesus and they went home a different way. I mean, they experienced the Christ and they went home different. Really is the message that I hear when I read that. And I think we all go away different when we experience Christ. We're going to celebrate communion together here in a moment. It requires a costume change on this day because Janet is appointed a full pastor in our midst. Access to go ahead and do that. So she's gonna robe, and I'm going to go put my robe on as well, and we're going to celebrate this together. And it's just really important that we recognize the way that God is using Janet going forward. She's not changed that much. She is who she is, but there will be new requirements of her in this capacity. And a requirement of ours is to receive those gifts in a new way. And so I ask you to do just that. And